relate to that song and what it's saying, that sometimes in the midst of this chaos, wouldn't you like to know sometimes, Lord, what is out in front of me? That's what he's singing about. But he said, Lord, you are already there. You are already in my future. You see the end from the beginning, and your hand is upon us. The Lord will never let you down. People will let you down. Even preachers will let you down. But the Lord will never let you down. And if you think he has, then the devil's kind of tricked you a little bit and deceived you a little bit. Because he will never let you down. Amen. I want to preach to you for just a little while. I don't have a lot of time this morning, but I've got enough to do what I need to do. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word real quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 31, we are looking, I've been sharing with you, we are getting to the end, as it were, in scripture of Moses' life. He's getting ready to hand over the leadership to Joshua. And he is saying those things that matter not only most to him, to the nation of Israel, but they matter the most to the Lord. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting that I may inaugurate him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle meeting. Now the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me, and they will break my covenant, which I have made with them. Now this is before Israel has even entered into the promised land. It's before Moses has died. It's before Joshua has been inaugurated as leader. God is letting Moses know this. He said, then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. And they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods. Now therefore write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. When I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, then they will turn to other gods and serve them. They will provoke me and break my covenant. Sometimes it doesn't do God a lot of good to do us a lot of good, because sometimes when things get really good, we foolishly think we don't need God anymore. He said, then it shall be when many evils and troubles have come upon them that this song will testify against them as a witness. For it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants, for I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I brought them into the land of which I swore to give them. I want to speak to you for a few moments a message I've entitled, Seeing into the Future. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne right now and thank you that you are God Almighty, that you are omnipotent, you know all things. You are omnipresent. You are everywhere all at one time. We live and move and have our being in you. God, you are almighty. You are all powerful. And we thank you that there is none like you. There is no other God but you. And Lord, may our hearts always be inclined, Lord, to hear your voice, to follow your ways. And Lord, allow you to write your word on the tables of our hearts that you might write your plan and your future and your destiny in our lives. And I ask that for every person in this room and every person under the sound of my voice, Father. Give us hearts to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. There's some very interesting things revealed in this passage of Scripture, not the least of which is the death of Moses. The future of Israel in the Promised Land is predicted. And what we also see is the depth of the foreknowledge of God, which is something that kind of befuddles us at times, because The Bible tells us that God knows all things. It tells us He knows the end from the beginning. And it's puzzling to us sometimes, and we make wrong deductions in that when we realize that God can do all of those things, we somehow think that He is then the master puppeteer and that He's in control of everything, good and bad, and He makes everything happen, and that's not true. The Bible said you were created in the image and likeness of God. I believe He has a head and a physical form like we do. He has arms and legs, and you're in the image that way. But even more than that, He created you with volition, with will, with the ability to choose. That's what makes us higher than the animals. He put an instinct and a program inside of them that is set. They act a certain way. They do things a certain way. But you and I are higher than the animals because God gave us the ability to think. We have the ability to realize that, you know, we ourselves exist. Animals don't think in that realm. They don't do those type of things. And so there's a lot of questions, you know, and then as life happens to us, we think, God, why this and why that and how did this happen and, you know, what is the cause and effect of it all? And sometimes people wrongly believe, because I hear people say things all the time, they'll say, well, you know, God took this one. When somebody dies, well, God took them. Or when something happens, they'll say, man, it was just, you know, that must have been God's will or God's plan. Well, it isn't always because life isn't set. God isn't some master chess player sitting on a throne somewhere, moving all the pieces around at His own discretion. You and I have a part in that. So then how does God know everything from the beginning to the end? Well, the problem is that you and I live in time. Time says there's point A, and then there's point B, and then you can go right on down the alphabet or whatever way you want to measure it. God does not live in time. He lives in eternity. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, I don't know exactly because the Bible said there are secret things that belong to God that are too high for us to know. I don't understand how you can live on a planet that is mostly water and yet you can still breathe. You know, somebody said, well, I don't know if God's real. I said, you know, I don't know if I believe in God. I said, well, I don't know how I breathe either, but I'm not going to stop until I figure it out. You know, there's a lot of things that you and I don't know. And, you know, probably in the spring, what a wonderful thought. Spring, you know, you might see a flower, a beautiful flower, and pick that up and you totally comprehending God and everything that He is, you have about as much chance of doing that as that flower has of comprehending you and everything about you. You're not going to figure everything out about God, and that's a stumbling block for most of the world because they don't want to serve God unless they can figure God out. If God is no bigger than what I can figure out, He's not much of a God. I can tell you. But I do believe this. I believe it's the only way that you and I can have choice and yet God see the beginning from the end. God sees everything as one eternal now. In other words, Robert, if you stand up from, you don't have to, but if you stand up from that chair and you decide to make a right step instead of a left step, everything changes, but God can see it all from beginning to end. If you decide to go left instead of right, it will change everything, but God will still see everything from the beginning to the end. God lives in eternity. But see, you and I have a part in what happens in our lives as well. I want to point out some things real quickly because I don't have a lot of time. I love some of the things I read, and one of them is about the death of Moses. The Lord said to Moses in the scripture, He said, behold, the days approach when you must die. You know, the Bible says it's appointed unto all men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And on the other side, there's no purgatory. There's no somebody doing something in this life to get you on into heaven on the other life. You're going to live till you die, and whatever state you're in when you die, that's where you're going to spend eternity. And you are eternal, by the way. You're never going to cease to exist. You're eternal, and the state that you die in is going to determine where you spend that eternity. But what I like about this, and not only about Moses, but about almost every person I know that has walked with God in Scripture, God lets them in on the big secret. He says, you're about to die. I can't believe that the God that you and I love and we walk with day in and day out, who speaks to our heart, who guides us and directs us, is going to let us get down to death's doorstep and then just kind of go blank on us. I shared with you last week about drawing near to God. That is, you need to love Him, obey Him, and serve Him. And one of the things you're going to see in Scripture, that many of those who love God and serve Him faithfully also knew when their time was coming. Abraham knew when his time was coming. Joseph knew when his time was coming. King David knew when his time was coming. In the New Testament, Peter knew when his time was coming. John knew when his time was coming. Even Stephen, who would be the first martyr of the early church, knew his time was coming. Not only did he know it, he said, as he was dying, he said, I see Jesus standing up on the right hand of the Father, getting ready to welcome Him in. Keep Christie and Michael McBrady in your prayers. I was with them yesterday at the hospital. They were taking all of the life support off of Christie's mom, and she passed away yesterday. And I shared with them. I said, take comfort in knowing that your mom is passing through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God said, I will be with you. Thy rod and thy staff will comfort you. Pray for Levi and his family. You lost your grandfather, didn't you? He lost his grandfather this week. But they didn't reach that point of their lives. They weren't alone going through that door. God was there to be with them. And I want you to know that if you will love God and serve God like Paul and the disciples and many other people, God's going to be with you in that moment too. And we're all going to face that moment sooner or later. I tell people just about every funeral I preach, I said, none of us are getting out of this world alive. Yeah, the rapture. We might get out alive, but be ready no matter what. Now, I also want to share this with you. The future of Israel in the Promised Land, God seemed to prophesy what was going to happen even before it happened. And you might read it and shake your head. Well, God, if you knew that they were going to go in there and forsake you and serve all these idols and do all these terrible things that they're doing, why did you even take them in there anyway? You ever ask yourself questions like that? It's all right to come to the Word of God and question it as long as you dig deep enough to find the answers. I run into fools all the time that they're, whoa, I don't understand when the Bible says this and what about that and what about the other thing. I say fools because if you don't dig deep enough to find out what some of those answers are, how many of you know just because you don't know the answer to something doesn't mean there isn't one? I know that's a double negative, probably not good English, but you know what I mean. God knew they were going to forsake Him. And we might ask, God, if you knew it in advance, why do you even take them in there? Well, this is why. He brought them out of Egypt so that He could bring some of them into the Promised Land. But as a nation, for the most part, they would reject God and they would fail to enter into all of the blessings and the covenant and all the inheritance that God had promised him. Now, all of them didn't do that. There were only a few of them, though. At this point, an entire generation of people had died out because they wouldn't listen and they wouldn't obey God. Joshua and Caleb will be the only two people out of over 600,000 people that left Egypt 40 years earlier. They will be the only ones who will enter into the Promised Land with this new generation of Israelites. Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. You say, how narrow is it, Pastor Ken? It's pretty narrow. It is really narrow. Jesus said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Peter tells us in the New Testament that even in the days of the flood of Noah, there were only 8 souls that came from the backside of the flood into the new world. You say, how narrow is it, Pastor Ken? It's pretty narrow. It's pretty narrow. But there were some that wanted to know God. Jesus came and preached for 3.5 years. He lived for 33.5. He preached for 3.5. And right at the end of his life, he said this. He said, I've manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. You know, Jesus preached to multitudes, but there was only a handful that actually listened to what he was saying. I may be preaching to a room of a couple hundred this morning, but I hope and pray to God there's more than just a handful that is really hearing what I'm saying. He said, now they have known all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you've given me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. He said, I pray for them, and I do not pray for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. He's talking to the Father. He said, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. The Bible said, if you're a Christian, it says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God so that you can glorify and honor God. Jesus said, now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, speaking of his disciples. He said, I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that we may be one as we are, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I've kept, none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not out of the world. Jesus called 12 disciples out of the world to be different from the world, to walk differently than the world, to talk differently than the world, to be disciples and followers of Christ. He brought them out of the world so that he might bring them into eternity. He said then, they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. In other words, cleanse them. Your word is truth. Psalm 119 says, you want to know how to straighten up your life? You want to know how to clean up your life? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. That's why Pastor Henry stood here for almost 5 years and said, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Are you doing it today? Are you letting the word of God cleanse your heart, cleanse your life, cleanse your actions? He said, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. And then he said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe on me through their word. How many of you are believers this morning? I just put you on the spot. I believe. What are the rest of you doing? Yes. Yes. Get to that altar. Get things right with God. Otherwise, get over your laziness and lift your hand. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. God brought Israel out of Egypt to take them into the promised land so that he could bring some of them into the promised land. God calls us out of the world today. Everybody won't heed, but those that hear him, he calls out of the world so that he can take you into the promised land, just as he did Israel of old. Now see, every person in Israel had to make a choice when they entered the promised land, whether they were going to follow God or their own hearts. You and I have to make that choice as well. Not just one time, but every moment and every second of our lives, every day. If you're one of these people that you think just because somewhere you prayed a sinner's prayer and you got your ticket punched and now you don't have to be concerned about anything else, your ticket's punched once and for all, I got some bad news for you. You're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. You can't save yourself. You got to trust in what Christ did on that cross. But if you trust in what Christ did on that cross, he said you will love him and you will keep his commandments. You will follow his word. You'll become a disciple of Christ. You will let him recreate the image of Jesus down inside of you. And if you're not doing that, you can have 50 tickets and they're not going to do you a bit of good. They'll blow off in heaven. They'll burn off in hell and a ticket won't get you there. Looking into Israel's future. I wanted to say something to you. Because when I first read this, I thought, God, why did you take them in if you could see this in their future? And God, you know everything, and you saw the future from the beginning to end. But you know what? It wasn't rocket science. He didn't even have to be God to know what most of their future was going to be. I can see into your future today. I can. You can too. Because every day that you live, and every time you disobey God, you are sowing seeds into your future that you're going to reap. But guess what? Thank God it's the other way too. If you sow in righteousness, you're going to reap a harvest of righteousness. You can see God in your future. You can see your destiny in Christ. But you and I make the choice, and we make it every day. We make it in every decision. We make it in every moment. What you do today determines what your future is going to be. I can see like God saw Israel. And it breaks my heart sometimes. Because I watch some of you doing things and saying things, and sometimes I wish they'd never invented Facebook. I can see things on there I wish I couldn't see. Because you see things that are going to determine what your future is going to be. What you do every day, every moment, determines what your future is going to be. Now, there's a lot of things you can do to disobey God. And God knows this isn't the pet sin. There is no such thing as pet sin. They have no weight. But I can tell what a lot of people's future is going to be. You know why? Because not the two that I mentioned this morning, because I don't know them well enough to know how they live their lives, to be honest with you. But I watch people that smoke cigarettes, and I can tell you what their future is going to be. I can. You know why? Because I'm a minister. And about 95%, and I'm probably being conservative, of the people that I bury is cigarette related. So you just keep on doing that. I watch people and I watch the way they treat their spouse. I watch church people and the way they treat their spouse and the things that they say and do. And I can tell you what your future is going to be: lonely. Breaks my heart. Why? Because you can't break the word of God and have life turn out all right. You can't disobey Scripture. I don't care if you can say, well, I'm not a religious person. I don't want anything to do with church. That's like saying, I don't believe in the law of gravity. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. You're going to reap what you sow in your life. That's how God knew. He didn't have to look into the future. He just knew they didn't want to obey him. He'd had 40 years of watching them now, and he knew they weren't going to obey him, and he knew what their end was going to be. And see, you and I know every day what our end is going to be. I'm out of time, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the platform, but while they're coming, I want to read a parable to you. I'm just going to read it to you. You got your ears tuned in. You're going to listen really good. Don't talk to anybody right now. Just listen. Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. How many of you know that he has? Yes. Jesus is the groom. His church is the bride. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. He sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I prepare my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it. They went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, and he destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all that they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was filled with guests. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that God didn't just go after the good people. God didn't just go after the church people. God came after me. God came after you. He is the bloodhound of heaven, and he just keeps coming after people. He's coming after you your whole life. He said, therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So he did that, and it was filled. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. How many of you know that if we show up in eternity and we aren't dressed in the blood of Jesus Christ, it won't matter that we got invited to the wedding. It won't even matter that we came into the wedding banquet hall. It won't matter that we saw all the goodness of God and everything that he has prepared for us. Are you following me? Everything he has prepared for us if we haven't given our hearts and lives to Christ and living for him. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. You know, you can hear about Jesus your whole life, but if you die without him, you're going to stand before God one day and he's going to say, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? How did you knock down every preacher I put in front of you? How did you knock down every stop sign that I put in your way? How did you knock down every moment, every opportunity that I gave you to come and be dressed in the wedding garment of Christ, in the righteousness of the saints? And you know what? You're going to be speechless. You're going to be speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, for there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, you hear that? But few are chosen. God's calling everybody. But you know who he chooses? Those who choose him. Those who choose him. You have two futures in front of you. You have the one the devil has planned for you. Yeah, he's real too. I know we play around like he's not and play games, but he's real. You may be playing, but he ain't. And God has a destiny for your life. I probably should have died around the end of May or maybe June. If I'd been very fortunate, I might have made it to August of 1978. But I heard the voice of God, who said to me on the 22nd of May in 1978, it's now, Ken. It's now. It's got to be now. I had five buddies I ran around bars with, and I was the person in the group that was so addicted and so out of it that those guys said, well, as long as we're not as bad as him, you know, we can always find somebody that's worse than us. I got saved in May, and three of them were dead before the end of August that year. And I was off the tracks. I could see it coming. I didn't have to look into the future. I knew if something didn't change, I wasn't going to make it. I didn't know they weren't going to make it. I probably would have had I known the Word of God then. In fact, I just buried all but one of them left. And I just buried the other one about 2 years ago. And I'm not trying to scare you into anything. I'm just trying to tell you life is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Eternity is real. Look what it says in Revelation 19, verse 6. And I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of the mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. And I read those to you because I want you to know that day is coming. I can see into your future. I can see into my future. God can see into your future. And the choice is always ours. What is your future in this life, in eternity? What does it look like to you right now? You know what path you're on. And I said all that to say this. I want to give you an opportunity, if you haven't already, to accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and then we're going to worship, and there are prayer warriors that will pray with you. And if you need to accept Christ, I want you to step forward and come forward, and you won't have to say or do anything. Just by stepping forward, God Almighty will see your heart, and these people will pray with you, and they'll pray for you. But God is calling you today. You know why? Because he wants to be a part of your future. He doesn't want your future to be what Israel's was in the promised land. But I assure you, if you do what they did, it will be. He has a future and a destiny for you. I've been serving him for over 40 years now. I have preached the gospel all around the world. I have a wife that loves me almost as much as life itself. God has given me a destiny. The devil wanted to kill me in 1978, and he almost did it. Don't let him do it to you. Don't let him do it to you, and he is out for all of us. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, Bloodhound of heaven, I just ask that you would go across this congregation right now and that you would speak to every heart, every life. Lord, whether somebody's here for the very first time today or we've been here for 20 or 30 years, help us. Search our hearts. Lord, let your spirit move upon us. We know what choices we're making. We know whether we're following you or not. God, help us not to leave this place today until, Lord, we know in the deepest part of us that all is right between us and our God. Lord, have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you stand with us? You might be saying to yourself right now, Preacher, I need to get saved. I need to get my heart and life right with God. Some of you might be saying, you know, I know what you're talking about, Pastor. I used to walk with him. I used to live for him, but I haven't done it. And you need to get back to God today. And the old devil saying, man, if you walk up there, everybody in that place will know. I got news for you. Yeah, the devil's a liar. And everybody in this place, they've either been there before or they need to be there now, one or the other. And you know what else? If you give your heart to Christ today and you don't do it some way publicly, the devil will talk you out of it before you get out of the parking lot. Just let go. Let God. Put your hand to the plow. Pray and ask him to be your future, to be your everything. Let him change everything about your life. He can do that, and he will do that.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your message today. We thank you, Lord, that you help us to see into the future. Not only see into the future, but Father God, you have shown us the way to grab a hold of the future and to be where you would want us to be, and that's an eternity with you. But Father God, that requires us to do something on our part, to be obedient to you, to submit our lives to you, to let you reign and to rule in our lives, Father God. Just like we sang earlier, Father God, you said, break the chains that bind us. Father God, there's chains that come in many forms that bind us. They hold us back from grabbing hold of the eternity that you would have, holding back the future that you would want us to have. Father God, I just lift up each person today that they feel that chain around them, Father God, just holding them back, preventing them from drawing closer to you, Father God. Break that chain, Father God. Don't let them believe the deception of Satan himself that they can't break this chain. It's impossible. It is possible. You're the way maker, Father God. You're the history maker. Father God, you love us with an everlasting love. You love us. You love us as individuals, Father God. Regardless of where we've been, what we've done, you love us. And you'll forgive us if we will just bow our knees, bow our hearts to you, Father God. Holy Spirit, just do your work, Father God. Father God, I know there's people here today. Their souls are crying out for you, and yet they hold back. unwilling to relinquish what you would want them to do, what they would want to do. They're scared, Father God, is scared of what might happen if they let go and start following you. Father God, I pray for boldness right now on this person or persons. God, set them free, I pray. Break these chains, Father God, that make us prisoners of our own little world, Father God, to prevent us from enjoying the life that you would want us to have. Oh, Father God, you have a future for us that, oh, you desire for us to have, Father God, if we would just let go and let you do your work. Holy Spirit, just come and move on these people, I pray. Father God, just touch them. Give them an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father God, go with us now as we leave the sanctuary. Let us be your disciples, Father God. Use us wherever we go, whatever we say, and whatever we do. Let us be your disciples, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.